my name is Kirsty Styles from Mobile Marketing Magazine. I'm here with Ian Spearow, who is CEO and founder of Creative Skills for Life. Hello, Ian.
Hello.
So, you're going to be speaking at Digital Shoreditch today, Festival of Digital Technologies. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're doing there?
I can indeed. We're about to launch Creative Skills for Life, which is a program designed to leverage new technologies and social media to enable young people living with cancer and other life-threatening conditions to explore their creative potential as both a catalyst for healing and personal development.
And can you tell me a bit about your background? Have you always been working in kind of social enterprise?
Absolutely not. No, I've run a marketing communications business, Spiro Communications, for many years. Our speciality being culture, marketing partnerships, and we used a lot of digital along the way. Much of the work we did was cause related. I was asked about 2007 by one of our clients, the managing director of the Evening Standard, if I could use some of our contacts in the media and entertainment world to help raise funds and awareness to build a new cancer care centre in London. And the idea I came up with was to take an electric guitar and treat it as a blank canvas. And we called this the Rock Couture Collection, and we ended up with some amazing artists from every discipline, music, fashion, art and design, creating these guitars from Bono, Jennifer Lopez, Philippe Starck, David LaChapelle. It was huge, and it just grew and grew and grew because, bizarrely, within a few weeks of this, my mum was diagnosed with cancer, terminal cancer, and I had no connection with any cancer organisation or charity before that. So suddenly, the project was given... There were a number of people that wanted to see it expand, and... actually become a touring exhibition. And because of that personal affinity with the subject matter, it kind of took over, really. And we ended up launching in Paris. We had a ticker tape parade through the center of Paris with 100 vintage Harley Davidsons and a band of marching cheerleaders. It was then seen by the director of the National Museum of Ireland, and asked if we could take the exhibition to the National Museum, which we ended up doing. It then ended up at Harrods. We had 12,500 square foot of floor space, collaborated with Ronnie Wood, who did an art exhibition alongside it. And then we auctioned the guitars to benefit the Maggie's Cancer Care Centre, which is built in Hammersmith. And that should have been at that. I was about to go back to the day job, but my mum, who'd been given 18 months, was still going relatively strong. And it was interesting because, to some degree, the project was something that she could focus on, and she set herself on going to one of the exhibitions. She couldn't make Paris, she couldn't make Dublin, but she did get to Harrods. And also, she had been an opera singer and a creator, and she channeled that interest, passion and energy into her her years in remission. She survived an extra 5 years, and her attitude was every day is going to be a special day, you know. And she was incredibly positive, and I was convinced that her interest, because she, even though her movement was became ever more restricted, she found different ways of expressing herself creatively. So when she passed, I got to speak to some of the doctors and specialists, and they acknowledged that there is evidence that the arts in palliative care, as it's called, can make a difference, but very little research evidence about.
Okay, so I guess there is little research on that kind of thing. Can you give us some examples of where technology, where creative technologies can meet health and change people's lives?
I can, but in order to join the points, first and foremost, most of the research that's been conducted is specific to the arts in healthcare, and that tends to be with an older population, dementia in particular. So there's lots of research, but it's not particularly thorough, but it suggests it can be very positive. After the European project, I was asked to take creatives, what was Rockature, to America. And we didn't want to replicate the guitar project because it wasn't really scalable. So we ended up developing a program in partnership with Clear Channel Media. They gave us $4.5 million of media to create awareness for a new program we were developing to specifically look at music therapy as a means of supporting young people being treated for cancer. And we involved the likes of Justin Bieber, Rihanna, Taylor Swift, about 40 artists in the States.
Wow. It was a very good contact book.
It's growing. And so we ran that program, and then it sent, but that finished at the end of 2011, and it felt like unfinished business because along the way you learn a lot. And as I say, there is not much evidence in terms of the value of creative skills in terms of alleviating stress, for example, when it comes to people being treated. And so consequently, 2012 was used for research purposes, working with a number of different organisations in the UK, looking at where there's a gap in the market, looking at the needs. And the long and the short of it being that rather than just stopping with music therapy, we decided we would look at creative therapies in the broadest sense. But then, as we are targeting teens, why stop with the music? Let's look to digital channels. And that's where that came about.
Okay, so you're launching this competition. Do you think there's perhaps a trend towards people, technologists using their skills for good, and there'll be a nice synergy between young people and people who can create things for young people?
Yeah, there's definitely a synergy. There is a trend. I mean, there's hacking for good and all of that stuff that's going on everywhere. I think this year and last year we're seeing a lot of goodwill from people in the tech industry, but it tends to be quite segmented, dotted all over the place, and not necessarily sustainable. And so consequently, what we're trying to do with Creative Skills for Life is to create a platform where we can effectively harness this energy and find different ways and means of promoting collaboration amongst developers, amongst artists, amongst the creative community who have an interest in helping young people who really do need it.
And so you mentioned it's not sustainable. How do you see something like Creative Skills for Life being sustainable?
Yeah, that's a good question. First of all, research. We're working with a number of leading universities to measure the impact of the program as we develop it. This is essential because actually, if we can demonstrate that there are cost savings in terms of the delivery of creative therapies over digital channels, that could impact the NHS. And so consequently, we have, in addition to Creative England, we have the NHS England as a partner. Okay. And they are going to measure with us the impact of this program with a view to, you know, how it could be become more sustainable. And there is an appetite within the NHS to, and indeed within the government, to look at digital technologies, especially when it comes to people living with long-term conditions, of which there are 15 million in the UK at the moment. So there's a financial imperative as well. And so in terms of making it sustainable, you can't just do it as a charity. You know, basically what we're looking to do is develop a social enterprise business which can potentially be scalable beyond the UK, which will provide economies of scale, which will therefore create a market opportunity. That's the way we're looking at it.
Perfect. So you're going to be speaking this afternoon. What's your kind of message to people in the audience? Should they, and health is obviously a kind of vast, almost untapped opportunity. Do you think people should be getting behind something like this?
Well, I think that's the interesting thing. mHealth, as you say, is vast, but where's the money? That's the big question. You know, in America, we've got all the download stats, etc. But in the UK, a recent report shows us great opportunity, but can't pinpoint where the commercial driver is.
Right.
That's also got to do with the fact that a lot of the audience that are being targeted are older, and therefore they're not using their mobiles in this way.
Right.
So it's something for the future, but there's a big opportunity. So we're developing through a partnership with Creative England, which is a development agency that's put up £100,000 to encourage SMEs and startups to collaborate with artists or to have their own great creative ideas for new apps and serious games and other digital tools that could benefit these young people. And the great thing about this is we have £10,000 for 10 lots of prototypes in the first instance. So it's only prototypes we're looking at because we want people to be thinking very broadly about what they might do. We also have a panel of decision makers and thought leaders from within the NHS who are practicing digital healthcare. So consequently, potentially could be customers for the products. And all things being equal, we're expecting that these prototypes will be put on the NHS website so that the public can have a say in what they think about these apps, so the exposure opportunity is worth a lot more than the 10,000.
Right.
Plus, we have a user group of young people living with these conditions who are going to kind of X Factor style participate in the process so that they are empowered, because we're not doing this from the top up, you know, we are doing it with them, providing them with actual tools that they're going to want to use.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, it sounds absolutely fascinating, and thank you very much for coming and talking to us today.